Okay, this is Sunday morning, 9:29:19, and this is part, well, really it's part five, but we had an erasal, so I guess it's part four, whatever it is. Walking in the supernatural. The purpose of this teaching has been that we know that Jesus did all of these miracles, but he wants us to see ourselves doing these things. He wants us to see by walking in the Spirit, how he did it, and now to renew our minds to the fact that we're not watching Jesus do it, we're watching ourselves do it. We're seeing ourselves do it. Because as he is, so are we in this world. What is walking in the supernatural? It's walking in the Spirit. We know so well how to walk in the natural, the Spirit of the Lord says, it is now time to walk in the supernatural. That supernatural ways and thinking override natural ways and thinking patterns. Let's look a little closer. Just read the gifts of, and fruit of the Spirit. This is Galatians chapter 5. Verse 16 says, "But I say, walk and live in the Spirit, then you will certainly not gratify the cravings and desires of the flesh." That's human nature without God. "For the desires of the flesh are opposed to the Spirit, and the Spirit are opposed to the flesh. For these are antagonistic to each other, so that they are not free, but are prevented from doing what you desire to do. But if you are guided by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Now the doings of the flesh are clear. They are immorality, impurity, indecency, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, selfishness, divisions, party spirit, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and the like. I warned you beforehand, just as I did previously, that those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." So we're not going to be able to walk in Jesus, the ways that Jesus walked in, if we're given into the flesh. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and appetites and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. So, this is what the Lord was saying to me. This is how Jesus walked by the fruit of the Spirit. He did not get in the flesh. He didn't let independent thinking cause him to just do things in himself. He said, "I do all the things that I do is what the Father's told me to do, and the Father in me is doing the works." Even when he cast out devils, he did it by the finger of God. You will notice here that walking in line of in the Spirit are supernatural. It's the fruit of the flesh or the fruit of the Spirit. You can choose. We know that the will of the Lord is, and here are the prayers he laid down for us to pray. We talked about the Lord's Prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And about praying for our leaders. Not cursing. See, cursing's in the flesh. Just like that lady at the restaurant. Just the Chicken Little syndrome just rose up. You know, I try to interject positive to this lady anytime I'm in there, anytime there's an opportunity, you know, try to say something positive, because you're looking at probably a lifetime of negativity and religion and things, and you think, how can you undo that in a moment? Whether you realize it or not, these two prayers and the obedience of praying them is what is getting our nation and the church back on track. Danny and I were commenting on that, how look at the path God has led us and the direction we're going from where we used to be, clueless, to awoke. It was because we finally got interested in his business. Instead of, well, I believe in all your faith is and confessions is about me and mine. You start using your words, like the first teaching, using your words for God's business, then he'll start leading you. He'll start showing you the truth and opening up to you and showing you things. You know why most Christians don't know anything? It's because they're still on their merry way. Oh, pray for me. Oh, I've had a bad day. Pray for me. Oh, pray for me. Pray for me. They don't know anything's going on. Don't care. This has always been heaven's way, the walk of the fruit of the Spirit, the walk of the supernatural. Jesus gave us a job with instructions before he went to the Father. We're to take the gospel into all the nations, to every creature. Yeah, this is what the church is supposed to be doing. Not having a country club, not building our little institutions and doing our little activities and having our little camps and all these things that Christians do. It's about going out. I think it's just a big filling station, actually. Come in, get trained up, and go out. It kind of sounds that way in the church in Antioch, chapter 13. Prophets in the church, while they were fasting and praying, the Holy Spirit says, "Separate me now, Paul and Silas, or Paul and Barnabas, for the work to which I've called them." And they prayed on them and sent them out. Jesus walked this way, Acts 10:38. He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. We are also to walk this way with goodness. Okay, I'm going to just read here all the miracles that Jesus did, and some are even the apostles have done. We'll just kind of a recap, but we'll get into the rest of this. He was born of a virgin. He changed water into wine. He healed the royal official's son. He healed the Capernaum demoniac. He healed Peter's mother-in-law. He healed sick in the evening. This is after hours even. Wisdom to catch a large number of fish. Healed a leper. Healed the centurion's servant. Healed a paralyzed man. Healed a withered hand. Raised a widow's son from the dead. Calmed the storm. Delivered the Gerasene demoniac. Healed a woman with eternal bleeding. Raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. Healed two blind men. Healed a mute, demon-possessed man. Healed an invalid that had been that way 38 years. Supernaturally fed 5,000 men and their families. Walked on water. Healed many people in Gennesaret. Healed and delivered a girl possessed by a demon. Healed a deaf and mute man. Fed supernaturally 5,000 men and their families. Healed a blind man. Healed a man born blind. Healed a demon-possessed boy. Wisdom on how to get money for taxes. He gave Peter wisdom. Healed a blind, mute, demon-possessed man. Healed a woman who had an 18-year infirmity. Healed a man with dropsy. Healed 10 lepers. Raised Lazarus from the dead. He healed blind Bartimaeus. He cursed the fig tree, restored a severed ear. He resurrected from the dead. He gave Peter wisdom, or he gave them wisdom after he arose from the dead, 153 fish. He gave Peter the wisdom, and they caught 153 fish. Jesus ascended. All the miracles of Jesus could be better said by saying the supernatural acts of Jesus. Jesus did not even claim that he did the works. This is John 14, 10 and 12, where he talks about the Father was doing the works in him. He didn't work independently. He was not a rogue. Then verse 12 is the whole point of this teaching. The Lord wanted to renew your mind with his miracles because he passed this on to you. When you come across someone in need, don't see Jesus doing the work, but yourself. He said your works would be greater than his. How many times do you see a need and feel at a loss to fix it? Remember Jesus doing it. And put yourself in that place. When you walk in the fruit of the Spirit, the supernatural, these things are going to happen. We all get on Peter because he denied the Lord three times, but after Jesus went to the Father and sent the Comforter, look what happened. In Acts chapter 2, the Acts of the Apostles, and in my opinion, should say the supernatural Acts of the Apostles. Let's look at some of the supernatural acts. Peter and John healed a blind man. Peter declared judgment on Ananias and Sapphira. Signs and wonders by the hands of the apostles. Peter healed many in various cities. Supernatural jailbreak, Acts chapter 5. Signs and wonders by the hands of Stephen. Miracles and signs done by Philip. Philip was translated. I put here Acts 8, 39 and 40. Jumpers, Star Trek, Back to the Future. Beam me up, Scotty, you know what I'm saying? We don't need roads. We don't need cars. God being Philip where he needed to, him to be. When God gets someone that will listen and obey, they become so valuable that they may have some translations in their future. Doc Brown said, roads, we don't need roads. Well, I say planes, we don't need planes. Who needs a however much billion-dollar plane to get from here to there? You know, the Lord could, if he needs us there, I guess he can just translate us there. This is all part of walking in the Spirit supernatural. This is the way they did it in heaven, so you know how God wants it down here. We need to stop limiting ourselves in God. Does all of this change the way you look at things? They don't do it one way in heaven and never give us a thought down here. His kingdom come, his will be done in heaven, so in earth. Even the angels said, you're going to see the angels on a ladder going back and forth, up and down on the Son of Man. What's going on here? He's sending angels on assignments. Those angels caught Philip away. Okay, Ananias is healed by Peter. Peter raises Dorcas from the dead. Peter falls into a trance. Another supernatural jailbreak. Paul speaks blindness on Elymas the sorcerer. Paul performs miracles in Iconium. Paul healed the cripple at Lystra. Paul cast a demon out of the fortune teller. Paul and Silas, another supernatural jailbreak. Paul performed miracles in Ephesus. Eutychus was raised from the dead. Paul suffers a snake bite but came to no harm. All right, let's keep going here. This is Acts 28. After the snake, he shakes the snake off. Verse 8. And it happened that the father Publius was sick in bed with recurring attacks of fever and dysentery. Paul went to see him, and after praying and laying his hands on him, he healed him. After this had occurred, the other people on the island who had diseases also kept coming and were cured. See that what they saw with Paul gave them faith to be healed. It didn't stop with Jesus, it continued on. Why do we not see these things today? Are we as willing as they were to be used by God in this way, to actually believe? Like Paul and Silas, for instance, to be sent out. They waited, they received their orders and obeyed them just like Jesus did. Went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Was it just for them? No. It's time to build the Lord's house. We read Haggai in another teaching this morning, Haggai 2. Galatians 4:19. My little children, for whom I am again suffering with birth pangs until Christ is completely and perfectly formed within you. So it's Jesus in us. What you're going through is transforming you into his image. Not your own image. You know, we talked about being rogue or AWOL. It's not about your image, it's about his image in you. 2 Corinthians 3:18. And all of us, as with unveiled face, continue to behold, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, as constantly being transfigured into his very own image in ever-increasing splendor and from one degree of glory to another, from the Lord the Spirit. Peter said, don't think it strange about the fiery trial. This is 1 Peter 4:12. It's part of the process. Beloved, do not be amazed and bewildered at the fiery ordeal which is taking place to test your quality as though something strange were befalling you. But insofar as you're sharing Christ's sufferings, rejoice so that when his glory is revealed, you may also rejoice with triumph. If you're censured and suffer abuse, the name of Christ, blessed and happy, fortunate, to be envied with life, joy, and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation. Because the Spirit of glory, the Spirit of God is resting upon you. The walk of the fruit of the Spirit is the walk of the supernatural. This is the way Jesus walked. This is the way his disciples walked. This is the way that we walk. Now we're going to look at the works of the flesh right quick. The first one is adultery. The vine says it denotes one who has unlawful intercourse with the spouse of another. Can also be in the spiritual sense, as with Israel, the breach of their relationship with God through idolatry. He looked at their, he called it harlotry. He looked at that as adultery, worship. Believers who cultivate friendship with the world, thus breaking their spiritual union with Christ, were spiritually united with him as a wife to a husband, the transfer of affections. There is at the Vatican, one of the city states, there's a circle, and there's one of those, like the Washington Monument in the middle. And that is supposed to be a female, the circle, and that's a penis, that tower. And along the top, all around this keyhole, go take a look of it, is picked statues of men, and it's like an orgy. They're all waiting to have their turn. In other words, they're raping the world. So you see, that's what God says when they worship other gods. He always takes it personally as adultery. Well, it is, because their worship all has to do around sexual perversion. All of it. My thought, going rogue. Okay, fornication. That's another one. Vines. Illicit sexual intercourse includes adultery, metaphorically, of the association of pagan idolatry with doctrines of and professed adherence to the Christian faith. Uncleanness, which is impurity. The vines denotes physical uncleanness and moral uncleanness. Just being nasty. Like these cities that have these mayors that pocket the money and don't take it and do anything for the communities. And these people are living on the streets. And they're living in their own filth, defecating on the sidewalks. I know that saying, godliness is next to God. Cleanliness is next to godliness. Maybe that's where that come from. I don't know. Okay. It's physical uncleanness and moral uncleanness. Lasciviousness. It denotes excesses like licentiousness, absence of restraint, indecency, wantonness. In Mark 7, one of the evils that proceed from the heart, the prominent idea is shameless conduct, like we see in our nation, especially those that are to the left. It's like they have no restraint. They're doing things that you would never dream, you know, of. Idolatry, which can be image worship. Heathen sacrifices were sacrificed to demons. 1 Corinthians 10:19. There was a dire reality in the cup and table of demons, and it involved communion with demons. Romans 1:22-25 signifies idolatry, the sin of the mind against God, and immorality, sins of the flesh, or associating or traced to lack of acknowledgement of God and of gratitude to him. An idolater is a slave to the depraved ideas his idols represent. Okay, the next one is witchcraft, which is pharmacia, means medication, pharmacy or magic. Going to the doctor and him sending you to the pharmacy, the witch doctor. This is the magic kingdom. It's not God's. All right, Vine says, for witchcraft, see sorcery. Pharmakia primarily signified the use of medicine, drugs, spells, then poisoning, then sorcery. Galatians 5:20 lists it as a work of the flesh. In sorcery, the use of drugs, whether simple or potent, was generally accompanied by incantation and appeals to occult powers with the provision of various charms, amulets, etc., professedly designed to keep the applicant or patient from the attention and power of demons, but actually to impress the applicant with the mysterious resources and powers of the sorcerer. That's scary. Such a shame that the church has adapted the slogan, God uses medicine. So the stripes on Jesus' back was not enough. God has to result in using the only master to get the healing for his people. Wait a minute. God has to result in using the other master to get healing for his people? Question mark. If we have to choose one master or the other, don't you think God would not hold himself to the same standard? Used to, you know, they did. They went to people and they did all their little, you know, herbs and things and concocted their cure. It's like a potion. Hatred, which means opposition. Vines means enmity. The opposite of agape love referred to enemy, and it means hate. Do you know why the Satanists and Luciferians hate us so? They are the enemy of God. Okay, variance, which means a quarrel or wrangling. Vines, to cut apart, divide in two. The next one is emulations, which means jealousy. Vines refers to jealousy, indignation, envy, the feeling of displeasure produced by witnessing or hearing of the advantage or prosperity of others. That's just being jealous of other people. Wrath. Okay, the vine said it's hot anger, passion, or fierceness. Strife means faction. Faction denotes ambition, self-seeking, rivalry, self-will being an underlying idea in the word. Hence, it denotes party-making faction, and it's the fruit of jealousy. Seditions, which is disunion, a standing apart, a dissension or division. Heresies, a party disunion. A choice, then that which is chosen, hence an opinion, especially a self-willed opinion, which is substituted for submission to the power of truth, and leads to division and formation of sects. That's what's happened in the church. It's gotten so fragmented. Envying, which is envying's ill will. Vines, the feeling of displeasure produced by witnessing or hearing of the advantage or prosperity of others. Murders, just means slaughter or killing. Drunkenness, intoxicant or intoxication. Okay, vines means strong drink or habitual intoxication. Revelings could be drugs, like the false flag event with the meth. Okay, revelings is carousing. The consequence of drunkenness or riot. All right, here's the fruit of the Spirit. Agape, it's a love feast. Vines, the attitude of God toward his son, the human race generally, to convey to his children concerning their attitude one toward another, to express the essential nature of God. Love is a deliberate choice. Love always obeys God's commandments. See, the world's going to know we're his disciples by the love we have for who? Each other. Okay, I've got some scriptures here and we'll be done. All right, John 3:16. Well, for God to love the world. Let me look at Romans 5:8. I'm not sure what that says. Well, in other words, God chose to love us before we were lovable. God shows and clearly proves love for us by the fact that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. John 14:15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Okay, joy is the next one. Means calm delight, not ha 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 ha. No, calm delight. It's apparently not, My opinion, not up or down, just even, not moved. Just steady. I remember being at an opera type thing with a girl, and she thought I didn't enjoy it because I didn't get up and clap and do hoo-haws all over the place. I said, no, I enjoyed it very much. I'm just more of an even type. I'm not a lot of ha-ha, but I'm not a lot dragging in the mud either. Just even, just stable. Because, you know, ha-ha's, that's emotions too, you know. Okay, calm delight. The vine says not ha-ha. My opinion, not up and down, just even, not moved. Peace means prosperity. Vines, at one again is what it means. What is at one again? Restored. Harmonious relationships, friendliness, free from molestation order, quietness, rest, contentment, shalom means wholeness. I mean, everything good. That's my favorite right there. Long suffering, forbearance or fortitude, long temper, in other words, patience. In other words, you don't let somebody just get you mad real quick. A long temper. Restrain. Keep. It takes a lot to get you angry. Gentleness. Excellence in character or demeanor, which is kindness, goodness of heart, easy and gracious. Goodness. There's no reference in just scriptures, so we'll look at goodness a minute. Romans chapter 2. 4. Or are you so blind as to trifle with and presume upon and despise and underestimate the wealth of his kindness and forbearance and long-suffering patience? Are you mindful or actually ignorant of the fact that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repent, to change your mind and inner man, to accept God's will? So the goodness of God is what leads men towards repentance, not criticism, not critiquing. You know, we were talking about certain people that they're going to have goodness, love of God towards them to bring them to Christ. Okay, faith, which is means credence or conviction. The vine says firm persuasion, a conviction based on hearing and trust. Meekness is humility. The vine says in its use in scripture, in which it has a fuller, deeper significance than in non-scriptural Greek writings, it consists not in a person's outward, mere natural disposition, not a doormat, rather is an inwrought grace of the soul in the exercise of our first and chiefly towards God. It is that temper of spirit in which we accept his dealings with us as good, and therefore without disputing or resisting, it is closely linked with the word humility. So being humble is submitting to the work of the Holy Spirit in your life and having a good attitude about it. Temperance, it's self-control, especially continence. Vine says the controlling power of the will under the operation of the power of God. Your will is under the operation of the power of God, not in your flesh. Okay, we did it. That will conclude this teaching.